Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. This is the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's great to have you back with us as we look back on a week when I was on the road going through airports, and it's been not very fun for about 20 years, and it's much less fun now because now the airplanes disappear. They just disappear. I might get to that later. I might not, because I want to stop thinking about it. We have to open up this week with some tragic news brought to us, unfortunately, from the pages of People magazine. Miss USA 2023, Noelia Voigt, has resigned. She's resigned. That's right. Miss USA, I said, has resigned. I know. Hold it together. Hold it together. She says that her favorite part of being Miss USA was, quote, being a fervent advocate for anti-bullying, dating violence awareness and prevention, immigration rights and reform, and shedding light on her roots. Oh, I'm quoting her, right? I'm sorry. Shedding light on my roots as the first Venezuelan American woman to win Miss USA, unquote. She concluded the sad press conference with advice to all the girls out there. I know, hold it together. Never give up on your dreams, whatever they may be. Unquote. So it's obvious as you read this dreadful report of this press conference that Miss USA 2023, Noelia Voigt, resigned out of embarrassment and an inability to continue a ridiculous charade where she perpetually embarrasses herself and her family by towing a line that even a relatively vacuous person can't tow because it just gets too embarrassing. Now, in light of this, and I hope you're sitting down, less than 48 hours after Noelia Voigt's announcement, Miss Teen USA 2023, Uma Sofia Srivastava, resigned as well. She said that, quote, my personal values no longer fully align with the direction of the organization. I will always look back fondly on representing my state as a first-generation Indian-American. Unquote. I know, hold it together. She vowed to continue her work as an advocate for education and acceptance. Miss Srivastava, Miss Teen USA 2023, vowed to continue her work as an advocate for education and acceptance. Uma Sofia, that's not work. That's really not worth being an advocate for education and acceptance. That doesn't even mean anything. So that's not real work. You should get a job as a handmaid and find out what real work is. That's our advice to Uma Sofia, Miss Teen USA. And so this just confirms our long-held theory here at the Weekly Worldview that beauty pageants are a lot like dancing. They're stupid. And even the winners realize after a while how stupid they are. And we can only hope that the resignation of these two rising stars will mean the end of beauty pageants altogether when everyone realizes how stupid they are. All right. So, I know, that's a tough one. How do you go on from that story? Well, let's go there. From there, we go to the Satanic Temple. That's right. into the bad religion file, where down there in the state of Oklahoma, Republicans, evangelicals even, have passed Senate Bill 36. And they're such good Christians, solid Christians, they're such strong Christians there in the Oklahoma Senate, that they've passed Senate Bill 36, which allows volunteer chaplains within educational institutions. That's right. And now if the bill passes, it's just cleared committee. If it passes in the Senate there in Oklahoma, Oklahoma could see the bill enacted as soon as November 1st. This would permit districts to hire paid chaplains in the public schools. Now, there will be some requirements that the evangelicals and the strong Christians made sure were included in their rules to hire chaplains. The chaplain would have to be a minister, a rabbi, a priest, or an imam, or a lay leader, or similar functionary of a faith group. Functionary. So, okay. I mean, I don't know if I would have used that word. Of course, I would have never proposed such ludicrous, ridiculous legislation. But then again, I may not be as strong a Christian as the evangelicals in the Republican Senate down the state of Oklahoma. Another requirement for potential government school chaplains: said chaplain would be required to be sensitive to religious pluralism. Unquote. Whatever that. What does that mean? What is that? What is that? And by the way, how can you require sensitivity? How do you measure sensitivity? Is there a blood test or to maybe a urinalysis for your sensitivity level to religious pluralism? Maybe it's how many imams are in your carpool. I don't know how you measure that, but that's a requirement. Thanks to the evangelicals in the Senate there in the state of Oklahoma. Representative Kevin, who's a Republican, sponsored the bill. And he said, we don't really care what he said, because it's pretty stupid what he said. And the interesting part of the story is that the Satanic Temple, the local Oklahoma chapter, has vowed that they will seize this opportunity to promote religious plurality and community service by putting forward their own chaplains, satanic chaplains, to go into the government schools, which is sort of redundant, but they want to apply for and put forward their own chaplains, and according to the rules put forward by the strong Christians and the Republicans, the Satanists are welcome, right along with the Muslims. I mean, the imam is welcome. Or similar functionary, which I think that would, a satanic priest, or what do they call themselves? I'm not sure what they, what a satanic, they have pastors, or they have youth pastors is what they have in the Temple of Satan. They're all youth pastors, oddly enough. So that would be a similar functionary put forward by the Satanists. And so this story elucidates yet another long-held position here on the Weekly Worldview. When the people claiming to speak for God are afraid to actually mention him by name, they are, in effect, working for Satan by default. So Republican state Senator Kevin there, he's actually working for Satan and doesn't even know it. But don't worry, the folks at the Satanic Temple, they'll let him know. They will make him fully aware, and he will pride himself on his sensitivity to religious pluralism as he invites Satanists to be chaplains in the satanic government schools, which, again, it seems redundant to us looking in from the outside here. But to so many voters and Republicans and strong Christians in the state of Oklahoma, they don't see the irony. They don't see the redundancy. They think that it's a good thing to put chaplains into the House of Ill Repute, that is the government school infrastructure there in the state of Oklahoma. We disagree. And if you disagree with us, you're incorrect. Yes, there you go. And that can be measured, by the way. There's a metric for that. Now, you'll have to figure it out yourself. We're not going to do all the homework for you. So we'll go from the Satanic Temple or the government schools there in the state of Oklahoma or the Senate, which all three may be hosted within the same complex. They all rent space from the same landlord, the Satanists, the senators, and the child molesters in the public schools. But we're going to go from there into the decline and fall file where we check in with townhall.com. A report that has shocked nobody, really. Well, except this one guy, and we'll get to him. A California surfing competition has been told they must let a male athlete who identifies as transgender compete in the women's division. So, first of all, nobody's shocked, right? So, my first question to the California surfing competition organizers, who told you you must do anything to have your surf competition? I mean, and who are they and what gives them the right to tell you how to run a surfing competition? Well, here's who it is. It's the California Coastal Commission, who we all thought they were in charge of, like, the native grasses and the palm trees and the beach erosion. That's what the California Coastal Commission, isn't that what they're all about? I'm not really sure. They're a government bureaucracy, so they may not actually have any job except to make ridiculous demands like this of private organizations. The California Coastal Commission stated that surf competitions could not discriminate based on gender identity. You see, organizers had announced that a male would not be allowed to compete in the Huntington Beach Longboard Pro Women's Division. Why? When asked, they said, because it's a guy. And we have a women's division and we have a men's division, and men aren't allowed to compete in the women's division. At which point, the California Coastal Commission stepped in and delivered a letter to the American Longboard Association informing them that the tranny must be allowed, or they will be in violation, they being the Longboard Association, would be in violation of state law. We have a quote from the Todd. Todd at the American Longboard Association says, "Dude, I was surprised. Shocked. It wasn't something I ever expected to have to deal with, dude." Unquote. That's Todd at the American Longboard Association.
Todd.
Todd. Dude. And so anyone who's reading the story is just thinking, Todd, have you been stoned this whole time? Yeah. Have you seen what's been happening over the last 10 years in every competition where there's men and women's divisions? I mean, we all know the Spicoli-esque reputation of surfers in general, but were you that stoned that you never expected to have to deal with this? You're in California, for crying out loud, Todd. The tranny was quoted as saying that he was shocked. He was disappointed and surprised at being excluded from the women's competition, said the guy. He was disappointed, surprised, and now that's not shocking. A tranny being excluded, that is a surprise. These days in California, just about everywhere, in any competition, that's surprising. But Todd was taken by surprise. Todd, the spokesman, or I'm not sure what he is for the American Longboard, so he's the weed connection, probably. Now, we have a comment from Bethany Hamilton. You may remember Bethany Hamilton. She is a world-renowned female surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack and continued to surf and win competitions against other girls. Girls with two arms, right? She would beat them. Well, she spoke out when the tranny was ordered into the women's division. And Bethany Hamilton said, quote, "This is not a fair game. I do not support this." She noted that Rip Curl, a famous surf, I don't know, they make clothes, maybe surfboards, they make surf stuff. It is believed that Rip Curl dropped Hamilton from her endorsement deal after she came out against World Surf League policies allowing men to compete against women. And so she loses an endorsement deal. The one-armed surfer girl who survived the shark attack. She gets dropped. Anyway, she now has threatened to boycott the World Surf League. That's great. Everyone should boycott anyone who cut the one-armed surfing girl off for just standing up and saying there's a difference between men and women. Anyway, so nobody's shocked. Everyone's disturbed. And, I have another quote here from, this is from Bethany Hamilton, the one-armed surfer girl who survived the shark attack. She says, quote, "I personally think that the best solution would be to create a different division so that all can have a fair opportunity to showcase their passion and talent," unquote. And by that, she means we need to create a division for the trannies. No, Bethany, no. You're wrong, Bethany. You have to stand up and say transgenderism is a mental disorder at the least, and it's evil and wicked at the worst. And if you're not able to stand up and say that, Bethany, that's why you will lose your sport, and you may very well lose your soul. That sounds like a shark's coming up on you right there. That's the sound you hear when you're being pursued by a great white. All right. Thank you, boys. Put away the guitars. All right, we have to come back. So one more note to Brittany. Brittany Hamilton, the one-armed surf girl who survived the shark attack. So, Brittany, it's better to go into the surf competition with one arm than to be cast into the sea not knowing that sexual immorality is evil. And all this transgenderism is just the latest rung on the ladder down into the pit of utter, unrepentant, unrestrained sexual immorality. That's all it is. And it started with just old-fashioned fornication and adultery, which was wicked and evil. And because that's been tolerated, practically legalized, or at least decriminalized, that happened two generations ago. Now we've got the trannies who want to compete against the girls and demand that all of us call them by their preferred names and nomenclatures and pronouns. And what comes after the trannies is the pedophiles. That's at which the pedophiles are, by the way, in full bloom, so to speak. It's just they're already promoting. The pedophile today is where the closeted homosexual was in 1980. And so just do the math on when the pedophiles are forced into the surf competition, or just pick anything, pick any social organization, any. So, and then after the pedophile, I'm not sure where you go from there, but it's more and more disgusting and horrible and awful. All right. And from the surf competition, so we go to the, what do you want to call this? This is the 2024 rerun of the insurrection of 2020, which never really ended. The insurrection of 2020, which started amidst the COVID hysteria and panic in the summer of 2020 with the unfortunate passing of George Floyd and the seizing upon the event by the leftist communists who have been desperate to take down America since before any of us were born. That insurrection has never ended, and it is gearing up for 2024. We go to the Like a Suicide file, where, as you've seen and heard and read, the pro-Hamas protests have swept U.S. campuses, college campuses across the country and across Europe. And maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, I have, that and frontpagemag.com noticed that a large number of the protesters are not only wearing the kifaya, how do you say it? Kifaya? You know, that's the checkerboard. Looks like they pulled it off a table at a Greek restaurant and they wrap it around their head like Yasser Arafat. Yeah, it's the PLO official garb, the kifaya. Well, they're wearing not only the kifaya, as you would well expect, being pro-Hamas, pro-terrorists, protesters, they're also wearing the COVID mask. Have you noticed that all the kids carrying the signs against, the signs that the anti-Semitic pro-Hamas sign, they're all wearing COVID masks. Now, in interviews, some of the mask wearers maintain that they're just trying to stay safe during this ongoing COVID pandemic. Right? That's what some of them say. But other observers have postulated that the wearing of the COVID mask may in fact be an effort by protesters to hide their identity. Imagine that. Using a mask to hide one's identity while participating in criminal activity. Who would have ever thought that could ever happen? So, but the author at Front Page Mag, he has an even deeper and more disturbing reason for the COVID mask. And I think hiding of the identity is primary. And also, I think that a lot of the Hamas protesters, they're just straight up COVID believers. They've been believers since the beginning. And so they're wearing their mask, whether they're at a riot or a protest or a pogrom or wherever they happen to be, they're wearing the mask no matter what. But the author over at Front Page Mag says, reflect upon this. During the Maoist Cultural Revolution in China, the authorities forced desexualized dress onto their citizens. In what the author at Front Page Mag calls a ruthless war on gender differences and individuality in the name of equity. And this war involved calculated assault on the possibilities of private attractions, affections, and desires. Indeed, Maoists' unisex clothing rules find their parallel in Islam's mandate for shapeless coverings to be worn by both male and female. The collective uniform symbolizes submission to a higher entity, but not the Christian God, I want to remind everyone. And back to Front Page Mag. It cancels out individual expression and any opportunity for mutual attraction. And he says, remember all this about the Maoists, and it becomes obvious how the COVID face coverings fit this totalitarian matrix perfectly. The COVID mask is the communists' favorite accessory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Front Page Mag goes on, what we are witnessing on university campuses is just the next logical chapter in the progressive tale. Their masks represent how successfully and hauntingly they are achieving their self-abhorring goal of self-annihilation. Hence, this story comes to us from the Like a Suicide file. And so it would be sad to watch the children, these misled children, violently protesting, in many cases violently protesting, on behalf of terrorists in their COVID masks. It would be sad if it wasn't such an existential threat as the insurrection of 2020 is being rebooted, redirected, re-ginned up for 2024 as we go into the summer. This is the first act. I shouldn't say the first act. This is the latest act. Stage right, stage left. No, we wish they would exit stage left. They won't exit stage left. No, no. They appear from stage left. In the latest... in just the latest of the ongoing insurrectionist dramas being played out all across the world. And we'll get to another one or two because there's plenty of them. But I wanted to just touch on the hopelessness of the American situation. Those in the audience who are hoping for some events to materialize that focuses enough people on the idea of saving America, that America may in fact be saved. There's just a certain hopelessness about that that I believe is represented represented in this next story, where we go back to the college campuses for all the protests. And redstate.com reports that over at the University of Alabama, pro and anti-Hamas protesters had a moment of solidarity together when both sides paused hostilities long enough to chant vulgarities about the current president of the United States in unison. And so I'm not going to link to this or go to the tape, but you know the vulgarity that has become popularized against Joe Biden. And so you have the communist, satanic, anti-Semitic Jew killers on one side, and then I'm not sure what to call the other. I guess you'd call them the normal kids. Both of them stop long enough to chant a vulgar epithet against the president, and that's disturbing. There, it's not hopeful. But over at LSU, Louisiana State University, counter-protesters showed up against the Hamas protesters, and they shouted at the students who were marching in favor of the terrorists, and one of them told the marchers, the Hamas marchers, that they had both zero national championships and zero SEC championships, and therefore their opinions on anything were invalid. That's right. The fact that they have no championships renders their opinions worthless, according to... And then the counter-protesters then started chanting, USA! 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 Why? Well, because at LSU, even the normal students can only process about three letters at a time. You get too many letters and too many syllables, and they start getting confused. And now the Red State author, he presents the chanting of USA and the allusion to championships rendering one group's opinions meaningless. He reports all this in a lighthearted manner as if it's encouraging somehow. He doesn't really understand the gravity of the situation we have, where we're watching society devolve into an argument between dumb meathead jocks and effeminate communists. And both sides are lost, and both sides have lost and will lose America. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney, thank you for sticking with us. So I was on the road this past week. Not on the road, actually, in the skies. Mostly in the skies. Well, mostly at the airport. Mostly at the airport because in the current state of affairs with air travel, it has now somehow become acceptable for the plane to simply disappear. The plane you were expecting to take you on leg one, leg two, it just goes away and it's just canceled and there is no excuse, no reason given. There is an apology. They do say, we apologize for any inconvenience. Well, wait a minute. Inconvenience? Inconvenience is a 45-minute delay. But when the plane disappears and you're basically told, come back tomorrow and we may have another plane, that's not acceptable. And it's time for someone to stand up and say it's not acceptable. And I should have known. The day Spirit Airlines acquired Frontier, or what was it? Frontier became Spirit, but they kept the name Frontier because Spirit was so bad that nobody would ever buy. Anyway, so the girl with one arm, she's going to boycott the surf world. I'm going to boycott Frontier Airlines. I'll never buy another ticket on Frontier because now this is the third time that the plane has simply vanished. And I'm frightened for what happened to the pilots. Where are these airplanes? My goodness, is there a Bermuda Triangle event that are happening? They're covering it up. Where are these airplanes going? There are people maybe missing, for crying out loud. There was supposed to be an airplane show up and it just never did. Okay, well. So, and then the humiliation, the humiliation routine of airport security has become so maddening. They now have the segregation of the bags with something suspicious. And so normally you're just delayed and then you're x-rayed and a picture of your naked body goes wherever that goes. I mean, you're basically treated like a criminal. So there's that humiliation. But we've all gotten used to that, which is a sad commentary. But now there's the secundaria where they segregate your bag and they put it, and then one of the slowest, stupidest people on the planet then has to hunt through the bag for whatever was suspicious. And that can take anywhere from a maddening minute and 30 seconds to a soul-crushing 20 minutes. It's just all right, but I'm not going to get into that. I know other people in the line seem completely unfazed by this humiliating, maddening event where the slowest, stupidest person you've ever seen in your life is searching through a bag for what she knows is not a bomb. The one thing they know is it's not a bomb and it's not a gun. It's just something that looks a little, we don't know what it is. But I'm holding on to my head to stop myself from screaming. I'm red in the face. I'm mumbling under my breath. Everyone around me can tell this guy is stressed out. And I look around me and everyone is standing around like cattle chewing their cud. They're just sitting there staring and looking as if none of this matters. And we're all just supposed to expect this. And not throw up our hands and say, you people are driving me crazy. You're not allowed to do that. That's frowned upon. And I just don't know how people maintain their calm in a situation like that. So, and I think it may have to do with prescription drugs. And the fact that I'm just not on any and everybody else must be. Because you would have to be drugged to not lose your mind in a situation where, okay, I'll just leave it alone. I'll just leave it alone. And I'll go from there to reason number 1,244 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, especially in the state of Colorado. We have a story, an article here written by, I have the guy's name here over at redstate.com. His name is Ward Clark. And he opens his article over at Red State with, Colorado was once a great place to raise a family. I should know, I raised mine there. And he says the rot started as long ago as the late 1980s and accelerated after the turn of the millennium and has now kicked into high gear. The rot, he says, in the state of Colorado How does he identify high gear? He says the Denver Boulder Axis now runs the state. The state has become East California. The latest example, the state legislature has passed, and Governor Polis has signed a law that compels speech of school teachers by requiring them to use whatever pronouns a student chooses, regardless of any ethical or religious objections the teacher may have, says Ward Clark over at Red State. Ward, I just want to point out, Ward, that nowhere in this article, and then he quotes the law verbatim and points out why it's so bad, because it's a threat against liberty and religious liberty. But nowhere does Ward refer to truth. He only refers to objections. So this compels speech regardless of ethical or religious objections. And so here's the problem, Ward. If you're not willing to refer to the truth, the fact being that a boy is a boy and his name and his pronoun is the truth, if you're not willing to refer to that and you're only willing to refer to the fact that you or someone else might object, then you, Ward, are one of the reasons Colorado has fallen. You're one of the reasons. Ward Clark might be looking Colorado, but he's sounding California. Yeah, he goes on to talk about parental rights. Parents aren't even notified that their child is requesting a different name, a different pronoun, maybe a different species. But so it doesn't have anything to do with parental rights or notifying anyone, Ward. It has to do with standing up for the truth and saying we will not suffer insane people to force us to deny the truth. We will not suffer the wicked to force us to deny the truth. And if that means we go to jail or they cancel our surf competition or they take away our dessert at mealtime or whatever it is we have to suffer. But Ward doesn't understand that. He thinks it's this has to do with parental rights and objections and the right to opt out. It's very sad. Reason number 1,244 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Even the conservatives commenting on the situation are hopelessly lost. Well, not hopelessly, but lost, at least at the moment. From there, we go into the propaganda file, because this story just sounds propaganda. And no surprise, it's from Axios.com, which is a bunch of drug-addled millennials bankrolled, I'm certain in some way, by George Soros to put out something they call news. But it smells propaganda. The headline from Axios: more women are working now than at any time in U.S. history. More working-age women are employed than ever before in U.S. history. Why it matters. This is Axios formula. They give you the headline, they give you the subhead. Then they say why it matters, then they zoom in, and then they get to the bottom line. Why it matters. The rise in flexible work arrangements is likely helping, in addition to the strong labor market. And so I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. So the headline, more women are working now than any time. More working-age women are employed than ever before. Why it matters. So they're supposed to answer why that matters. But it says the rise in flexible working arrangements is likely helping, in addition to the strong labor market. Which to me sounds like AI-generated drivel. And so I think maybe a number of the drug-addled millennials at Axios have been replaced by AI, because that statement doesn't explain to me why this matters. It goes on. Women working. Okay, they have a quote from an economist at ZipRecruiter. An economist at ZipRecruiter? Are you serious? So, okay, as if an economist, whatever that is, number one, at ZipRecruiter, which whatever that is. I mean, is that anyone that I should look to try to understand why anything matters? Forgive me, I'm going to set the opinion of Julia, the economist at ZipRecruiter. I'm just going to set her opinion aside. Forgive me if I skip that. Then they do the zoom in, which is just more, it looks like more AI-generated drivel. And then they get to the bottom line. The bottom line for Axios. More women are working now than at any time in U.S. history. The bottom line, moral of the story. Women are working and caring for their families. But a crisis in child care is making it harder for them to stay at work. A crisis in child care is making it harder for them to stay at work. That's the bottom line. And that's what we should all be concerned with. These working women need to find a way to stay at work. I mean, my retirement is invested in the company they're working for. You need to stay at work, Mom. And care for your family, by the way. Get back to work. The stock was down 0.4% this afternoon because Mom had to go home. We need to find a way to keep these women at work, is the bottom line for the authors at, well, whoever it is at Axios, the ChatGPT algorithm at Axios. You know, the sad truth is that any woman who feels that she has to work in order to be fulfilled has a lousy husband or a lousy father, because most of them don't have husbands anymore. So a lousy husband or a lousy father or just a lousy pop culture that taught her that she needed to stay at work to be fulfilled. Oh, and care for your family, by the way, too. Mom. The pop culture taught her that. And as I was writing my notes, I noticed that pop culture, the first four words after pop are cult. The pop culture has taught women that in order to be fulfilled, to have meaningful lives, to be productive members of society, they have to stay at work and care for the family too, by the way. A crisis in child care. You know what the crisis in child care is? Is not enough moms staying home and taking care of their children. That's the crisis in child care. All right, so from there, we go to the widespread file where, well, let's just get to the article from News Nation. They're reporting that Robert Redfield, the former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention director, is warning that the bird flu could be the next pandemic to wreak havoc on society. Robert Redfield, not to be confused with him. This is Robert Redfield, who was the CDC director during the COVID panic and hysteria. He was one of the first guys to admit that this virus could not be controlled. That's what he said at first. He said the idea that we can control this is just not realistic. And within a few weeks, he was telling everyone to strap on a mask. Anyway, Redfield says now that it's obvious that the COVID-19 virus was, quote, educated, unquote, or taught how to infect humans via gain-of-function research by scientists at the Wuhan lab, and he's calling for the declassification of all documents. He then goes on to say, bird flu, quote, bird flu, I think, is going to be the cause of the great pandemic, where they are teaching these viruses to be more infectious for humans. Now, before that scares you too much, remember that this guy is the reason that anyone who was ever in the army has a bad story about an army doctor. This guy was a lousy army doctor who failed upward to become a lousy bureaucrat. And he ended up at the head of the CDC under Donald J. Trump. He goes on to say, quote, right now, says Robert Redfield, quote, right now it takes 5 amino acid changes for the virus to be effectively infecting humans. That's a pretty heavy species barrier. But this virus is now already in 26 mammal species. as you saw most recently in cattle. But in the laboratory, I could make it highly infectious for humans in months. Because it's been published which 5 amino acids I need to change. Blah, 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 yada, 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 unquote. So this guy, Robert Redfield, he is a bozo of epic proportions. One of many examples of Donald J. Trump's ability to surround himself with idiots and morons. And so you read, Dr. Redfield claims that he can make a virus more infectious in months. That's what he says. Mr. Redfield, I don't believe you. I think you are shilling on behalf of fear so that you can get a gig somewhere either for yourself or for some of your dim-witted offspring or colleagues. I don't believe you can make a virus do anything more infectious in months. So you're just shilling for something, maybe just to get on TV, to get interviewed over at News Nation. This bozo has been at the public trough going all the way back into the AIDS racket. This guy's been a slopping at the public trough for his entire career. He should be arrested for his criminal response to COVID. And Donald Trump should never be elected again just for hiring this guy. You know what you call the guy who graduated at the bottom of his medical school class? Doctor. That's right. And Dr. Redfield and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burke are proof of that old axiom and joke. This guy was atop the pile of idiots advocating for surgical masks for an airborne respiratory virus that he had recognized just a few weeks earlier as uncontrollable, unstoppable. For that alone, Robert Redfield's name should forever be a byword among competent physicians. Not to mention just among decent, civilized people. And I'm almost afraid to address this whole situation about this new virus, the bird flu amongst the cows and killing all the chickens. Should we be scared? Should we not be scared? Should we believe? Nobody knows what's going to happen. And then the last time I casually referred to the idea that a viral infection was going to be just the Democrats' next news cycle driver against Donald Trump, the last time I did that casually was February 2020. That news cycle lasted for 2 years with COVID. So never underestimate the confluent power of affluence, stupidity, godlessness, and cowardice to make even the most ridiculous charades come true. Can you feel the tension rising right there? That song has always sounded to me like the tension is rising. It's rising around the bird flu. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know about the bird flu. I don't trust Robert Redfield or anyone else, frankly. And that's the sad thing is that none of us can really trust any of these people anymore. In fact, here from the Widespread Delusion file, we've got a report on a TED Talk from Bill Gates. Bill Gates has promoted mRNA vaccines. He predicts that there will soon be factories worldwide that can make $2 vaccines, with even less lead time than we had here during this pandemic. Gates said that the COVID-19 vaccine saved millions of lives. And we need to invest in easier to deliver vaccines that are just a patch you put on your arm or something that you inhale. We need vaccines, says Bill Gates, that actually block infections. Unquote. I thought the definition of a vaccine was that it blocked an infection. But Bill Gates expects to be able to say that and no one point out that, hey, Bill, up until this whole mRNA shenanigans, vaccines had to actually block infections. You know, and not cause people to have heart attacks left and right. Those were just two of the basic fundamental standards we had for vaccines before you and the other geniuses alluded to in the previous story got involved in the whole vaccine game. Gates, according to the Discern report, and he has invested in vaccine patches, and he is also funding research on inhalable vaccines. And he says they're going to be the next big thing. He also said there would be innovative new vaccines that can, quote, eradicate entire families of viruses, like the coronavirus family or the flu family of viruses. Okay, Bill Gates, excuse me, we've never eradicated any, not even one coronavirus, not even one flu virus. We're going to eradicate entire families based on the patches and inhalables that you happen to have invested in? Color me skeptical, Bill. Bill promises that such vaccines will make people healthier and shrink the health equity gap. Shrink the health equity gap between rich and poor countries, says Bill Gates. At which point, the aha moment. Oh, okay, I got it. He's not a doctor. He's not a researcher. He's not a biomedical expert. He's a communist. Bill Gates is a communist. What is the health equity gap? What is health equity anyway? What does that even mean? Unless you're a communist. I mean, Bill's not enough of a communist to not be out there shilling for his latest investment to make him a few more billion dollars. But at heart, he's a Leninist, and he should be arrested. You shouldn't be able to promote Leninist propaganda. That should be a crime. Because if there's anything we should have learned over the past 100 or so years, is that communism is a wicked, criminal political ideal that should be eradicated. We need a vaccine against that. And we already have a vaccine against that. And it's called the gospel and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And if you don't have any of that, you're going to get suckered in by a bozo like Bill Gates and the other accompanying bozos like Robert Redfield and Fauci and Birx. And should I say Donald J. Trump and offend everyone in the audience? Even Donald J. Trump will be able to bamboozle you. All right. Now, from there, we go to the Northern Death Cult. LifeSite News reports that the Delta Hospice Society in Canada has launched a Do Not Euthanize National Registry. That's right. I know, right? You have to register to prevent the government from killing you if you get sick up there. The Northern Death Cult. Angelina Ireland, executive director at the Delta Hospice, told Life Science News that the new Do Not Euthanize National Registry goes live May 1st, went live May 1st. She says, we're making the wishes of our people known and putting them into legally binding, provincially specific advanced directives. She says, our do not euthanize directives put into writing that our people have no interest in being executed by the state via MAID, medical assistance in dying, eh? She says, our directives make it clear we want health care. We will not be euthanized. Says Angelina Ireland, executive director at the Delta Hospice. She says, we will not be euthanized. To which I would say, do you want to bet? I wouldn't bet on your side of that one. The number of Canadians killed by lethal injection since 2016 stands at around 65,000 people, with an estimated 16,000 last year alone. And many fear that because the official statistics are manipulated, the number may be even higher. To which I would say, do you want to bet? Now that I would bet on. That there's way more people being assisted by the maid than we see in official reports. A recent Statistics Canada update admitted to excluding euthanasia from its death totals, despite euthanasia being the sixth highest cause of death in the nation of Canada. It's the sixth highest, yeah. It's number six with a bullet, as a matter of fact. From there, we go to another propaganda story from the War File. Iran News update had the headline, U.S. vows to block Iran's nuclear weapon aspirations. At which point I say, do you want to bet? On May 9th, Kamal Karachi, a senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, hinted at a possible change in Iran's nuclear stance if the country's existence is threatened. And so you read that and you're supposed to take from that that Iran right now has a nuclear stance against getting a bomb, but that might change if they feel threatened, which none of that is true. The only thing preventing Iran from getting a bomb is that they're generally incompetent buffoons, socialists, and the Israelis keep messing up their research. Those are the only saving. That's the only reason Tel Aviv hasn't been annihilated with a nuclear bomb from Iran. Okay, so that was Kamal Karachi. We also have Javad Karimi Kusudi, a member of Iran's parliament, sparked fears with a social media post interpreted as a threat to build a nuclear bomb. Why was it interpreted that way? Because it was a threat to build a nuclear bomb. That's why. To take things out. Now, in the meantime, Matthew Miller, the U.S. State Department spokeschild in an empty suit that nobody ever heard of until today, he condemned the remarks of the Iranian officials as irresponsible. Miller reiterated the U.S. position that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon. Diplomacy remains the preferred path, but all options are on the table. And do you want to bet? I'm betting all options are not on the table. Like the option of bombing Iran into the Stone Age is not on the table. And it needs to be on the table. But it's not on the table. But it probably is on Benjamin Netanyahu's table, thankfully. All right, so that sounded very propagandy to me. I'm not buying any of it. Meanwhile, I mentioned earlier the protests, the pro-terrorism, pro-terrorist protests on the college campuses, 2024 being rebooted, geared up. The news media is actively searching all the time, every minute of every day, 24/7, for the next George Floyd moment. And a lot of these campus violent protests are designed to facilitate the next George Floyd moment. We have a story here from the Gateway Pundit reports that a 23-year-old Air Force airman, Roger Fortson, was shot six times by a deputy in Okaloosa County, Oklahoma. ABC News went on and reported, in line with the insurrectionists' propaganda line, ABC News reported, Airman Fortson was on a call with his girlfriend when he heard a knock at the door. He asked who it was. He heard no response and could not see through the peephole. He told his girlfriend, it looks like someone was covering the peephole on the other side. That's, unquote. That's what ABC reported. Where did they get those facts? They got those facts from the lawyer of the family of the dead airman. That lawyer's name is Ben Crump. And ABC News irresponsibly reported the lawyers and the girlfriend's hearsay reports about what happened. They went on. Well, Ben Crump told us that someone knocked at the door aggressively. Airman Fortson retrieved his legal firearm when officers rammed through the door and shot him six times. According to the lawyer, Ben Crump. Then the victim's family are quoted arguing that the deputies had entered the wrong apartment. And so at a press conference, the sheriff released the body cam footage, which refutes ABC News and it refutes the claims of lawyer Ben Crump. Now, it doesn't establish the fact that something horribly tragic didn't happen. That seems to be the case. Maybe the wrong apartment, maybe mistaken identity, maybe a cop who shot too soon. That's all still a possibility. But the way ABC reported is not what happened. And the body cam footage revealed that. And then the reporters at Gateway Pundit inform us that Ben Crump has represented a number of families in the not-too-distant past. Some high-profile victims who you may have heard of. Ben Crump represented the families of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and Ahmaud Arbery. Yeah. And ABC puts his testimony on the air as if it's fact before the body cam footage is released. Why would that be? Well, it's because this case was designed to ignite the summer of 2024. And it seems at the moment that this case is not going to do that. But they're all out searching. Ben Crump is trolling. ABC News is trolling. They're all trolling. Fox News, they all want it. They all want the blood and the fire and the riots on the air. The 100-year effort to build an industry of crime in America, I call it the government criminal complex, that it's basically guaranteed an ever-increasing level of violent conflict between armed police and young black men. And this is purposeful. It has an end. There's an end game in mind. And of course, the media benefits because they get sensational ratings. The government benefits because they have a never-ending supply of government contracts and jobs to hand out, managing the processing of the crime scene and the processing of the criminals and the processing of the court cases with the criminals and the police and everyone else. So they all have their benefits. Now, the benefit to young black men is none. The benefit to the police, none. The benefit to civil society, none. In fact, for all three of these, for us, it's poison. That's eventually, I mean, this could get us all killed. But of course, only after an enormous amount of pain and suffering. And it appears to me that this situation is so far along as to be irreversible. There appears to be no turning back for Western civilization in general. I'm godless, sociopathic, and criminal mores, policies, and people have been tolerated and then even promoted in the name of liberty and freedom. And so, because all that's been tolerated and promoted, those who've been tolerated and promoted are going to take that freedom along with the weakness of the ungodly, and they're going to take the keys to the kingdom that have been handed to them. And, well, they've already got them. And they're inside. And they're going to burn it all down, man. They're going to burn it all down, man. I think it's going to be a long, hot summer. Because I think Ben Crump and his sponsors and ABC and Fox News and the Ninth Circuit, I mean, they're all going to find their George Floyd moments. And the summer of 2024 will be ignited, and we'll just see how much of it burns down this time as we head into what we used to just call the silly season. You know, when we used to argue about the mill levy and welfare, and now things are on fire, and it's just all very disturbing. So from there, we go to the After the Rapture file, where we check in with the Tesla Gigafactory over in Berlin. Protesters stormed the Gigafactory, Tesla's Gigafactory there, making that makes electric cars, by the way, to save the environment. And so the socialist, communist agitators are attacking the factory that's building the cars that are going to save the environment. So figure that one out. Anyway, the protests where they stormed the police, I mean, this looked almost like combat. I mean, except for gunfire, it was combat. So these protesters are organized by a group called Disrupt. They describe themselves as a coalition of groups pushing for a just and solidarity-based world beyond capitalism. Mm-hmm. They say Elon Musk's Gigafactory is associated with labor accidents, water scarcity, deforestation, environmental pollution, and exploitation worldwide. And so Elon Musk, I mean, he built these kids with his bamboozlement of the climate catastrophe and how his electric cars were going to save us all. And now they're storming his factory. It's somewhat, well, it'd be amusing if it wasn't so disturbing. Tesla's Gigafactory was suffered an arson attack in March. Perpetrators were suspected of setting fire to a high-voltage transmission line. Unironically, a high-voltage transmission line was set on fire. The electric line went to the electric car factory that was supposed to save the environment until all the communists decided they would prefer to participate in a mass murder-suicide. Which is all very sad, but all very predictable, and that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, and that's why we hope you'll be back with us next week. Do I have anything more? Oh, from the Captain Obvious file, immigration experts are warning that a plan to import Palestinians as refugees from Gaza would pose a threat to the United States. Experts, that's right. Okay, the reports are that the Biden White House is considering options to provide permanent safe haven to Palestinians living in war-torn Gaza. Well, I mean, there's not really a plan to do that. But the Biden administration wants potential leftist voters to think that they're doing that because they care more about the election than just about anything else, apparently. Now, experts warn that the risk of importing poorly vetted foreign nationals with potential terror ties could be a threat. Hamas, they remind us, is a designated terrorist organization. The official government in Hamas, and that the Gazans that we might want to invite here to protect them, well, they have direct ties to Hamas because they voted them into power. And it'd be impossible to vet them. And because we can't trust the records compiled by the terrorist government that they voted for. The smarter thing to do would be arrange, the author at Daily Caller says, the smarter thing to do would be arrange for a third country in the Middle East to take them. Well, no country in the Middle East wants them because they don't even need experts to tell them. You don't import terrorists. But, well, there you have it. That's the end of experts. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. Thank you to my friends over at Real Science Radio. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.